Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Live from the corner of Broadway and Battery, Damon Bruce, Ray Ratto, and Matt Kolsky, broadcasting in beautiful downtown San Francisco. This is Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Well, here we are on a Friday, getting you ready for a game in Philadelphia, getting you ready for one of the most important stretch runs in the history of Giants baseball, getting you ready for what looks to be a great sports weekend. Man, last night, maybe the teams aren't good. Maybe the game wasn't necessarily great the entire way through, but here's where the NFL delivers and why it owns the sports world. Fans are invested in their real teams. They're invested in their fantasy teams. And the product continues to deliver on the biggest stage. Three of the four primetime games that we've seen so far this year have been decided on the last play of the game, including last night's. That was very good. Hopefully the 49ers don't have nearly that amount of stress coming in Philadelphia this weekend. Plenty of stress on the roster this week. Plenty of stress on snaps for Ayuk. And we got an awful lot of stuff to talk about. And what do you know? We're all here to do it. Hello, Ray Ratto. Hello, Matt Kolsky. Good to see you, boys.
Hi, Mom. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you very much. Matt, I hear that you have been plugged back into the Matrix. Congratulations, Neo.
Thank you. It's very exciting. It's a very exciting time to be here. And heck, last night's game makes up for that garbage Bears game because it was decided twice on the last play.
Yeah, so only the Bears screwed up this incredible streak of primetime thrillers because Washington last night wins on the walk-off field goal. You had the amazing ending Monday night to the Raiders game, and Tom Brady obviously marched right down the field to win on opening night on a field goal. And he's talking about how he's going to stick around until he's 50. I mean, if you'd like to reach a little maximum football, try and play until you're 50. That sounds like it's going to be tough to do. Go ahead, push the button.
Maximum football!
All right, so for the one guy who's definitely whooping Father Time's rear end, there's only one way you can tip the advantage back to Father Time for sure, and that's trying to play to 50, right, Ray?
Hey, just shut up about 50. Not you, him. You know, get through 44. You know, get through 45. You're talking about playing for another half decade. Calm down. Nobody's going to sit here in 2027 and go, oh, Brady really let me down. Just, you know, fine. If you want to do that, fine. Just keep it to yourself. And as far as last night's game goes, I am completely in favor of the Giants, the Washingtons, the Cowboys, and the Eagles playing out their schedules as long as it's only against each other. Because if they play like NFL teams, I think there's going to be mostly hat blockings. But because last night was such a pie fight, it matched two teams with plenty of pie and plenty of face to throw them at. So that would be my recommendation, is they can only play each other from now till January.
How dare you? Taylor Heinicke and the Washington football team bow to no man. You know, Ray, you know as well as I do, the minute they gave Washington the ball back with 2 minutes left, we all said that's too much time to leave for Taylor Heinicke.
That's Heinicke time.
Yeah.
You guys are going to deny ever saying what you just said. I know that.
Hey, I'll tell you what. He is kind of fun, actually, Taylor Heinicke, and he did make a lot of good throws last night. He actually wasn't bad. But Ray's probably right about the fate of any of these teams when they play outside the division.
He's not the worst quarterback I've ever seen. That certainly wasn't the worst football game I've ever seen. And I will just hope, like, cross fingers for just the happiness of our neighbors here in the Bay Area, that you're right. You take one of those teams, you put them out of the division, they might get stomped on. Now, the Eagles did have a rousing win over the Atlanta Hawks last week, but who the hell are the Atlanta Hawks, to be totally honest with you, other than
honorary
a bad football
NFC
team?
East. They're an honorary NFC East. Yeah,
they get the spot at the kitty. Like, when you sit someone kitty corner on the table, that's the Hawks right there at the
Plus,
East.
Plus, in fairness, they're the Falcons.
You're right about that. Sorry, I just got a little NBA on my mind today, Ray, because I'm looking at nothing gets me more excited than a new stadium. I love stadium plans. I love to look at schematics. I love to look at how their plans are coming together. And it looks like Steve Ballmer's putting together, like, I mean, I say this is going to sound like a little bit of a shot. It's not. It looks like a glowing Fabergé egg laid on its side from the outside, from what I've seen. They are telling you that they are going to have the greatest bathrooms in the history of sports. Okay? Fantastic. I love a good bathroom.
I got to say, I'm just fired up to be here today.
Kawhi Leonard, however, at the big unveiling, looked like he was ready to fall asleep as who was that? Fitz and the Tantrums were playing or something. I don't know who Ballmer had playing in his little tent today, but hooray, right. Hooray for the Clippers.
I wonder how many millions of dollars it cost Ballmer to get Leonard to come to that thing.
What is going on here?
He probably had to pay him extra.
The whole squad was there. And honestly, Kawhi Leonard was only slightly less enthused than most of the team. Nobody looked particularly excited. Paul George looked like he might have fallen asleep.
Well, then I guess it would be 15 times a million.
They should have just had a camera on Ballmer the entire time, just rubbing the first layer of skin off both guys' thighs sitting to his left and right. That seems to be his go-to I'm feeling it move. So we will maybe circle back to that, but obviously we got big things going on. Big things going on. Braves and Giants, Ian Anderson and Logan Webb get going tonight. Atlanta comes in just having dropped two in a row. The Giants, they've got their own two-game losing streak right now. And, you know, they want to get right back on top. When you talk about one of the all-time 16-day stretches in the history of the San Francisco Giants, here it is to wrap up this regular season. The out-of-town scoreboard watching is going to be absolutely glorious. The Dodgers begin a 9-game road trip, and the stakes couldn't be any higher. Nothing but high-stress innings from here, for at least the fans anyways, from here to the end of the regular season. And when you can, we've said this throughout the season, and there might have been times where we embellished the importance of a particular series because it was against a rival or it was the difference between, you know, 3 games or 5 games up, that sort of thing. We embellish every now and then to suck you in as the professional sports talk radio host that we claim to be. But this is for real. Like, this is for real, a huge stretch of baseball, and baseball with consequences is some of the most dramatic sports you can get yourself in front of. So, obviously, here we are on a Friday, big football weekend coming up, and we're going to focus on that, but we've got to give a little love to what the Giants are in, how they're trying to hold off the Dodgers. They got one game separating them right now, and it should be fantastic is what it should be.
Need the Dodgers to win tonight in Cincinnati. Need the Giants to lose so that they'll be tied, because one more day that they're basically even is one more day when it can be fun down the stretch.
I mean,
I don't I don't think a two-game difference would make it any less fun down the stretch. This thing is going to come down to the wire. And, you know, I guess Atlanta is probably the best team left on either schedule if you think they're better than San Diego. But half, essentially, of the Giants' remaining games will be against the San Diego Padres. So those last 2 days, not super encouraging, but a chance to get it headed back in the right direction tonight against the Braves.
The Dodgers wrap up their regular season with a six-game homestand, wrapping up the last three with the Brewers, who, you know, I hope aren't in lay-down-and-die mode. I know that the Reds got an awful lot to play for. They're a game out of the second wild card in the National League, and they got the Dodgers coming to town, and the pitching is set up, to say the least, for L.A. in Cincinnati, and we'll look at all of that today, but we got an awful lot of football for you. Starting at 2:30, we're saying hello to the man who's calling the game on Fox. Adam Amin is joining us at 2:30. We've got Pat Forty joining us at 3:00 because we've been talking a little college football. And the man watched his daughter win a medal in the Olympics, which is pretty cool. And I've kind of been wanting to talk to him about that since it happened. So Pat Forty, who's one of the best football writers out there, one of the best real sports writers out there, is going to be joining us at 3:00 today. Brian Baldinger at 3:30. A pal of mine, a friend of yours, if you love sports talk radio, John Kincaid, who is now home in Philadelphia where he grew up. He dominated Atlanta radio for years, got an opportunity to move home, is back in Philly, the king of Philadelphia radio. John Kincaid joins us, and then in the 5:00 hour, all our attention on obviously the game inside the game going to Philadelphia. And there is no doubt we are going to have a microscope on anything Brandon Ayuk is doing, or even maybe more to the point, not doing in Philadelphia. We'll find out some interesting practice footage at the Greenbrier to talk about a little bit today. Hopefully nobody gets hurt between now and kickoff, because the Niners are already kind of limping in a few spots. And where is a spot or two that they can take advantage of Philadelphia? I've got an idea. The idea is not exactly hard to find. George Kittle. It's time to get that guy deeply involved. And against Philadelphia, I think it's a good way to go about winning a football game. We are just underway. It is wonderful to have you here this afternoon. We got tons to get into. Really, some very interesting sound coming from the Greenbrier. I know Kyle was talking to the media today. We had Gabe Kapler talking to the media last night after the Giants, again, lost another one to the Padres, but they didn't lose because they weren't playing well. They just got beat by a team that was, you know, certainly at the beginning of this year, billed as good enough to beat anybody. Hopefully they don't do too much of that to the Giants down the stretch. Like I said, the 16-day run to end the year is going to be something else. And we are underway, boys and girls. It's good to have you. We got Voltron fully assembled this afternoon. So let's officially do it. Damon Radowinkolsky here on 95.7 The Game. We're urging you to download that Odyssey app, baby. Favorite the station, 95.7 The Game. You'll get all the breaking news updates as well as links to the top interviews and the very best moments, powered by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome, welcome. Great to have you here on a Friday afternoon. Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky. We've got Adam Amin of Fox. He's got the 49ers-Eagles game this weekend, and he'll be joining us in about 15 minutes here. Looking forward to talking to him about what he expects this game to turn into. I expect this game to turn into a win for the 49ers. 2-0 start to the season with both wins coming on the road would almost make up for the fact who's not going to be playing for the rest of the year. I mean, if you're going to lose big players, you should hopefully win big games to at least make up for that. And we know who they've lost already. You know, we have well documented this week with a little research that Kolsky did about just how bad for business artificial turf is for football players, not just the Niners. Overall, there is a dramatic increase in the percentages to get hurt, a soft tissue injury, a catastrophic injury that could cost you a season or multiple weeks. It's all there, easy to be found in red, and it tells a very easy to understand tale. When you are playing on anything other than natural grass, the chances of you hurting yourself increase. So Nick Bosa just got through a game in Detroit, his first game back from season-ending surgery last year, and he was very happy to get out there for 50 snaps on turf and not just not get hurt, but when the game was over, feel well afterwards. Here's Bosa.
It was nice just to get back out there and get 50 plays on turf and feel great. So I'm ecstatic about that and just being back with the guys and knowing that my body is ready for a season. And I was sore for sure, but it wasn't much different now.
Well, and it's just so important for guys who have been hurt. Like if you're a quarterback, to get hit. Because you need to trust that body part again, and you really can't trust it until you get up from getting slobber knockered and you feel good. And I'm sure it's the exact same way for a guy like Bosa. Just, I want to get out there, I want to play, and I don't want to have to worry about this. I don't want it haunting me in the back of my mind, and feeling good after the game is a big part of that, I think.
Yeah, I think that's probably standard. I mean, while it's nuts for human beings, for football players, they absolutely need to have that just to allay fears, because taking a big hit is in and of itself not fun, but knowing you can do that, get up and do it again, or deliver one, I think that's part of the comfort level in a sport that doesn't provide much of that.
For Bosa, it's just like he wants to get held one time just to see what it feels like again, and then he's back in the groove of things. Oh, it's normal. They're holding me again. Can I ask, though, Nick Bosa has to be, like, right next to Mike Tyson on first team. My voice is the opposite of the way I play my sport.
So I'm ecstatic about that.
Yeah.
Like, never-ending motor on that vicious beast, and he talks, and it's like, is that the stoner from Dazed and Confused?
We have great energy.
Let me tell you about Martha Washington. She was a hip lady.
Exactly.
No, it really is. It is one of the rarer voice matches to bodies sports has produced in a really long time. You are right. Mike Tyson is probably at the top of that mountain, followed closely by Tony Gwynn, who was just like, you know, still just had one of the most aw shucks voices you ever heard in your entire life. Hi, everybody. I'm Tony Gwynn. Sounded like
it was
a minor
much
league.
Higher than that.
Yeah, no, but he sounded like a minor league announcer, like who had that announcer gaggy voice. You know, it's a welcome back to Albuquerque, everybody. It's 7-0 Isotopes. You know, that's the way he kind of sounded.
His son sounded like his father.
A little bit, yeah. You could definitely tell that was Tony Gwynn's kid. But yeah, Bosa does not sound like the body, and it's good that he sounds like he was very comfortable coming out of that game because, man, that's one guy that the injuries are non-negotiable with him. You want to go somewhere, you want to make this a special season, whatever that means for the 49ers special season, he's got to be in it to win it all the way through. We all know that, I think. It's pretty obvious. And when you talk about beating the Eagles, one of the things you got to do is control that defensive line. Kyle Shanahan today was talking about how good Philadelphia is up front.
They just have a lot more multiple fronts and stuff. You know, they've been the four down look for as long as I can remember, going back to when I was in the NFC East almost 10 years ago. A lot of the same guys, they still play that way, though. I mean, but they mixed in a 3-4 last week. We know they play four down. When they do play four down, they look the exact same as they always have, but we also know they have a lot of stuff we haven't seen also. So they got a big package scheme-wise, and we got to be ready for anything.
Get ready. They got a big package.
No, I'm going to let you hang on that.
Which is a funny way to follow it up, if you don't mind me saying.
Phrasing?
Yeah, listen, I think the thing that anyone can see watching the Eagles in week one is, big package aside, Jalen Hurts makes them a totally different team than they were last year with Carson Wentz under center, and not just because he seems to be a lot better than Carson Wentz at this point, but it's a totally different type of quarterback. And the Niners, we've talked about it a lot, the Niners have trouble with mobile quarterbacks, and it doesn't always have to be Russell Wilson or Kyler Murray. It has seemed over the last few years as though anybody under center who can really run gives them trouble. So this is not an easy week by any stretch.
No, this won't be easy. And I think that the Eagles showed you enough in that week one win, not over the Atlanta Hawks, but rather the Falcons. Thank you for the correction. It even though Atlanta might be no great shakes, they really went out and played well, and they really got after them in the trenches. I mean, they won that game. Offensive line, defensive line bullied Atlanta. You can't get bullied if you're the 49ers in this game. You're going to have to establish that line real quickly. Cliches all around us here, but it's the truth. I mean, it really is the truth. This offensive line needs to be allowed to control the guys in front of them the same way that Detroit was allowed to control Nick Bosa. You were talking about getting held. I mean, he really was. I went back and watched not a ton, more of the end of the game, just to recap how everything wrapped up in Detroit. But we knew that this year holding was going to get a little bit of a market correction. Like last year in week one, well, and let me go back to 2019, actually, because in 2019, in the first weekend of football, there were 86 holding penalties called. Last year, the market correction was like an overcorrection. They only called 18. first weekend of this year came in just over 50. Just over 50 holding calls. You could have called six more against the Lions on Bosa alone. And Penei Sewell, who we talked about being a little bit easy pickings, he played well. I'm not here to take anything away from him. But he got away with a level of holding Nick Bosa that, you know, when Kyle Shanahan was asked about it today, he said, you know, I've actually seen him held worse in a game. And he meant the Super Bowl is what he meant by saying I've seen worse. So what will the trenches be allowed to get away with in Philadelphia this weekend is a big question.
I think it's likely to be about the same as last week because this, as you said, is a officiating course correction, and those usually last about 4 weeks before things revert to normal. So I think holding across the league will be about what it was last week, and it'll be the same next week, and it'll probably be the same until October starts, and then you might see things revert back to the way they've always been, because that's the way sort of they, what they call points of emphasis get dealt with, and really in every sport. The first month, officials are getting the memos. And then after a month, the memos stop, and then the games change.
You talk about the Thursday nighter last night. The best play of that game didn't count. I even saw Trent. It was trending on Twitter, calling Daniel Jones White Vic. Not Mike Vic, White Vic. And let me tell you, he's got wheels. He absolutely took off, and he could have had like a 60-yard touchdown run last night, but it was called back on a play that looked no different than any other football play you kind of had your eye on a little. Nothing egregious, nothing out of the ordinary in terms of holding, but it was called back, and I hate when big plays get wiped out for a holding call that just like by happenstance – even though it happened on the last play and it's probably going to happen on the next play, we're calling it here for whatever reason, and that wipes out a monster game-changing, game-altering play, and it happened last night. The Giants lost that game.
That's probably true, but the Giants did a lot of things to lose that game.
They did.
And it is a triumph of ESPN that today's big topic was, is Joe Judge to blame? Do you think he inherited the 85 Bears? And C, if Joe Judge was coaching the Cincinnati Bengals, the name wouldn't come up. But because it's the Giants, because it's Thursday night, and because the beast must be fed, Joe Judge is now to blame for a team playing the way it played all of last year for another coach.
I'm pretty sure he was the coach last year.
Oh, you're right. It all blends together after a while when you're in the juggernaut that is the NFC East.
Yeah, the question is whether it's Joe Judge's fault that a tough holding penalty got called and then a guy jumped off sides in one of the most idiotic displays I have ever seen. How you could think that jumping in that scenario was at all reasonable? You have to be better than that as a player. And I don't know if we can blame Joe Judge for that. I'll say this. I'm pretty sure, and someone can check my math on this, not that I did any, I'm pretty sure Daniel Jones had the highest recorded foot speed in the league last year. So he really can move. That's legit.
Like faster than Raheem Mostert?
I think so, yeah. Someone will have to look it up. But he was definitely in the top five.
That feels muy agresivo. But I'm
pretty sure on this. I'll look it up.
Math Kolsky, you're going to have to look up the math on this one. You got to live up to your name on that. But look, that game last night, I mean, blaming Joe Judge is a little goofy. When's Dave Gettleman going to get his bell rung? That's what I want to know. Like that guy's, who gets a larger landing area than Dave Gettleman?
Well, Dave Gettleman is bigger than most people, so that's probably one thing. Two, he still has the confidence of John Mara for reasons that escape me, because John Mara never gets blamed for anything. He's right. Just sort of one of those old NFL patrician owners who gets to skate while the team that he operates hasn't been very good for a long time. And that even allows for the two Super Bowls that they won, because for the most part around that, the Giants have not been good, and they've not been good for a while.
Nope. There's another team in the NFC East that is a concern of every 49er fan as the team gets ready to play the Eagles. The man who's going to be behind the microphone on Fox come kickoff is Adam Amin, who's nice enough to join us here on Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Thank you very much, and it's a pleasure to have you back on the show. It's good to have you back in for another football season, man.
Gentlemen, looking forward to actually, we got the Niners two of the next 3 weeks. So unfortunately or fortunately, depending on your viewpoint here, you'll have us a couple times going.
Oh no, that's good news. We love hearing you behind the microphone. You're great at what you do, and hopefully you're calling back to back wins here for the 49ers, because they have been banged up already. Harbingers of last year, kind of floating around the fan base, seeing Mostert being lost for the year, Jason Verrett lost for the year, Dre Greenlaw, who no one even realized got hurt in that Detroit game, he's on the shelf for 6-8. So already a walking wounded team heading into Philadelphia, but still an awful lot of expectations that they carry the day, even though the Eagles look pretty good in week one.
I was curious what, like, the sense is, because that's, you know, I remember talking to you guys a little bit about it last year, and it's so hard to get a sense for this 49er team, right? Over the course of Kyle Shanahan's tenure, because you have a magical season, you think this is the guy. Garoppolo had a great year. This has to be the guy. We've got the defense. We've got, you know, arguably the best middle linebacker in the game, or one of the best. You know, we can build off this defense. We have a good pass rush. And then 3 of the 4 years, you look at the records, and I know it's a lot of injury. I know there have been some very difficult circumstances over the course of, you know, 3 of the 4 seasons that Kyle's been in charge. And I'm not using Kyle's name to make this an indictment on Kyle Shanahan. I'm just saying that I'm just giving you a time frame here. It's very hard to try to get a sense for what this organization is, what its identity is. They go and draft a quarterback, and there's discussion now about how they need to navigate through a two-quarterback system. So it's been very difficult to get a handle on an identity for this organization. And Mark Schlereth is my partner, and he often talks about identity. You know, we had the Giants last week, and Jason Garrett, ever since the beginning of last year when he took over the offense there, I heard you guys just talking about New York, they've been seeking an identity, in particular in the run game. Now, Kyle Shanahan's got an identity in the run game. It's one of the most deadly rushing attacks in the NFL, and you saw that in multiple facets last week. But it's hard to get an identity about the direction of this organization, because there's been so much inconsistency. You talked about the harbingers of injuries popping up again in week one. So I'm fascinated by San Francisco as a story and as a narrative, but I'm still trying to get a grasp on it. I'd be curious what you guys think.
Toward that end, when you're talking with a coach the night before a game, or you're talking to the general manager the day of a game, just sort of informally fact-finding, how much does that help you figure out where this identity is supposed to be? Or do you have to wait for results over several weeks to try to figure out who, specifically in this case the 49ers, actually are, as opposed to what they might have seemed to be when you started the season?
I think when we go in and chat with someone of stature, you know, that's directly involved with the team or the organization, they can tell you what they believe they want. I think that this is just a human characteristic. I think people will tell you what they want in terms of, I believe we are this, and this is how I think we can sustain that. And that's great to hear, and that's great to understand where a person's coming from, so maybe you can give some justification for why a decision is made. I'm not saying necessarily on a game broadcast, but just have a sense for the organization why a decision like this would be made. Okay, this GM or this head coach likes their personnel to fit this type of mold, or this is the scheme that this coach happens to run, and they've run it for a long time, so naturally any moves that are made, we understand, have some kind of gear towards being an asset to the scheme. So whatever it is, whether it's a personnel decision or a scheme decision or how you say you're going to approach a weekly game plan, at least there is some understanding of the decision-making, the justification of some of the decisions that might be made. It's hard to learn that because nobody wants to say it. Now people are afraid to put out what they think the identity should be, because if it doesn't work, it's going to make you look bad. And it's a heavily scrutinized job, and rightfully so. And it's a, you know, listen, you're well compensated for doing, you know, for coaching the kids' sport. So yeah, it should be, there should be a little bit of disconnect there. But I get that people don't want to say what they actually think because they don't want to look bad when it doesn't go their way. And more often than not, guys, it doesn't go their way. It's hard to win in this league. It's hard to sustain in this league. That's why some of the divisions that we see are as cyclical as they are, because it's hard to sustain. So nobody really wants to buy into or invest heavily into one philosophy or another, or at least talk about it publicly, because they don't want to look as bad as they're going to look when it doesn't go the way they want it to go.
All right, so I guess to talk specifically about what you're just talking generally about, have you talked to your partner, as who obviously is the former football player of the group, or also just what is your impression of the idea of using two quarterbacks at once? Because it seems like that's what the Niners intend to do.
You know, and Mark is an old school guy, and obviously we'll talk with Kyle and company tomorrow and try to get a little bit more insight on it. But I think Mark is an old school guy. He comes from the, you know, the Super Bowl eras of the late 80s and mid 90s. You know, that's where he got his rings, mid to late 90s. And he's always kind of subscribed to the philosophy of, well, if you have two quarterbacks, then you have none. And I think even in his mind, and we talked a little bit about this, even in his mind, I think that's changed. Because guys understand, like, you know, we spoke with Jalen Hurts today, and he was kind of in the mix of that a year ago with Carson Wentz in the early part of the season, first half plus of that season. That's what he was doing. He was the read option guy or the decoy or line him up in the slot to give him a different look. Taysom Hill was kind of like that before Sean Payton got an idea of it. So I think it can work. We've seen it work and we've seen it not work, but I don't know if we've seen it work when you have paid a lot of money to a starting quarterback that San Francisco has in Garoppolo, and then you draft a guy in the first handful of picks to essentially, I mean, you're setting him up to usurp the throne at some point, right? I mean, that's what the perception is. Can you make it work? If anybody can, I think Kyle Shanahan is one of the people that can. Does that mean everybody's egos are going to be okay with it? Does that mean everybody's going to be okay with the concept of this? Does that mean everybody's going to say all the right things in every press conference and praise the teammate and praise the other QB? I don't think that's going to be the case, and I don't think that makes anybody a bad person or a bad teammate for not making that a priority. I think it's a hard job, and you want to not have to look over your shoulder for it. So if anybody can make it work schematically, I believe it's Shanahan. I don't know if anybody worth their salt at quarterback is going to want to make it work full time for an extended period of time, and that's where the questions come in. It's not, can this work, you know, with the personnel and the scheme? It can. I just don't know if everybody's going to buy into it for more than a season and a half.
Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo has been a very good diplomat about the situation up to this week where he first dropped his first "it is what it is," which is never the phrase attached to something that is pleasing you. You know, no one said, you know, you never got served a great sandwich. Hey, how's your sandwich? It is what it is. That's not
no
a good review.
That phrase, no one says that phrase with the tone of satisfaction. It is what it is, guys. Nobody has ever said it in that tone, and if they had, it was probably ironically.
Adam Amin, he's got the call on Fox this Sunday. I'll tell you, the game within the game that we're going to be monitoring, and it's been much ado out here this week leading up to it, is Brandon Ayuk targeted no times, used sparingly in game one, and he looked to be, you know, wide receiver one, wide receiver two coming into the year, and Debo had a big game in Detroit, and Trent, you know, we've seen Trent Sherfield have himself a nice beginning to his year, and but Brandon Ayuk is a first round pick that was selected because he fit what Kyle did so well and had an awful lot of success. His snap count will be as counted as first downs and touchdowns and interceptions by all of us here in the Bay Area. It's something we have all got our eyes on, and he is either going to be a part of this game and it's no big deal, or he's not a big part of this game and we officially have a topic.
I will be fascinated, as you will as well. Actually, our graphics coordinator, Jonathan, is walking out of the room right now. When he comes back, I'm probably going to tell him, hey, guess what graphic you're about to build? Because Damon, Bruce, and Matt all told me that this is probably what they're keeping track of. So congratulations, guys. You will likely have made the broadcast on Sunday in a very specific fashion. But, I again, I feel like a one-game sample of that. And again, you heard what Kyle obviously said with, well, you know, he's got to practice a little bit better, and he will, and, you know, some indication that maybe he wasn't pleased with his full-on performance leading up to the game. I imagine that's going to change this week. I imagine as long as everybody's healthy, that is going to change. You have to use him for what he's good at. This is something that Philadelphia struggled with a little bit last week. They had a lot of missed tackles in space. And what does San Francisco do, or what did they do last year about as well as any team? And what have they done is use space and use receivers in space to gain big chunks of yardage. That's why the Yak Kings and all that, that's all that I'm sure every Philadelphia defensive staff member is talking specifically about, defending space. So you're going to use Brandon Ayuk. I just want to know what type of turnaround is it going to be? Is it, hey, it was a week of practice that led to him not getting as many snaps, he was back at it this week and we're good to go, or is this going to be a continuing factor? I would like to believe that if all things are good, then he's going to be a factor in this game, because Philadelphia may struggle with it in some portions of their defense.
I tell you what, Adam, if you name check me on the national broadcast, I'll officially send you $20 this weekend. If you name check the station, I'm sure our sales department can arrange a car for you. So thank you very much for joining us today. Have a great call, break a leg, and hopefully we got a chance to talk to you again real soon, maybe even next week with you having the Niners twice in a row.
That sounds like a plan, boys. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Adam Amin here on 95.7 The Game. Muffin basket for a name, do the station, we'll see if we can get you a car. That's pretty fair, right? It's good advertising.
Yeah, as I've always believed about you, the way to your heart is through your pastry.
Hey, who doesn't like a good muffin basket, right?
Hey, listen, as long as by a car you mean we'll order him a lift back to the airport, then I think we can definitely get that done.
Yeah, that's it. You know what? We'll go Uber Black. We'll make it real
fancy.
Yeah, we'll
fancy.
We've got Pat Forty joining us at the top of the hour. In the meantime, the games within the game is you're getting ready for 49ers and Eagles. Where is your attention? For me, it's Brandon Ayuk, and there is one more guy we're going to get to before we get to Pat Forty at 3, so stay with us. Damon Ratto and Kolsky here on 95.7 The Game, and we're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Want to get back to some more sound out of the 49ers as they wrap up practice at the Greenbrier and make their way to Philadelphia to take on the Eagles on Sunday. Once again, though, thanks to Adam Amin of Fox for joining us. Nice conversation with him. And I'll tell you, if he is going to be doing, like he said he was, the game next week, we got to get him back next week. And I'm cooking up a little plan here, Kolsky. You're going to love this because he is also the voice of the Chicago Bulls. When the Bulls come into town to take on the Warriors, we got to get him in studio, man. We got to figure out a way. We'll send the Uber black car.
That's what I'm talking about for sure. We should have asked him about the Arch of Dimes, the Warriors working out former Bulls point guard Ryan Arcidiacono. You know, could be the 15th Warrior.
The Arch of Dimes. Okay, so I've never heard that before, and now I absolutely hope they sign him just so we can have that great nickname hanging around us. I'll tell you, I might be more interested than that than the other thing that we found out about the Warriors this week, and that they're going to be working out Isaiah Thomas. Now, Isaiah Thomas coming off the bench being humbled throughout his career is maybe a different guy than I last saw, but the guy that I last saw needed the ball, demanded the ball, and has about the worst defensive presence that you could have, which means he just doesn't seem like he's cut from Warriors cloth to me.
The defensive presence is not his fault. He's 5'7". So,
okay, but that's his fault. His height. That's his fault.
No. I'm agreeing with you. I completely agree with you. And honestly, I think they want someone who's capable of having the ball in their hands to come off the bench. So that part isn't a problem for me. And I bet Isaiah can still get some buckets. But yeah, 5'9", and that's just not going to work with this Warriors team. They need defenders. And that's why I like Archie Diakono. He's scrappy. He can shoot. He plays D. Like, as a 15th man, that's a really good option in my book.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about Thomas yesterday, and John Dickinson was sort of focusing on the fact that, you know, he's always been a me-first guy. And I think that can be solved. But I think the physical stuff is the stuff that you can't sort of recreate. He is what he is at this point. And I mean I'm with Matt. There are things that the Warriors hold near and dear, and a guy who cannot play defense, even if he tried to, is not useful to them. Which is why I think they'll look at a bunch of guys. The fact that they're looking at Isaiah Thomas only means that they're looking at Isaiah Thomas. It means nothing beyond that.
Right. You like you said yesterday, Ray. Take a look at everyone. It's a bad idea to walk onto a car lot and take, you know, one of the first few you see. You're going to want to walk that lot. You're going to want to take a look around and take a look at Isaiah Thomas. Sure, but I'd be really surprised. You know, so much of the conversation this week about the Niners has been Kyle Shanahan's doghouse. There is a very, very large Steve Kerr doghouse. And the best way in there is to not play defense. We know that. So it just doesn't feel like a fit. Brandon Ayuk, man, he looked like a fit all last year. Look, it's either just a hamstring and he plays a ton this weekend and we're never talking about this again, or we will continue to talk about this. Brandon Ayuk, what does he need to do well? What is Kyle Shanahan looking for his wide receivers to do well? Here's the coach.
Just how you run your routes, how you do your blocking assignments, your AMAs, you know, how you take the new game plan, what you do on Wednesday to Thursday to Friday and getting all this stuff. And, you know, it's not just about Ayuk. I know I keep saying this, but I feel bad for him. Everyone's making it just like him. Did he do bad? Like, it also has to do with other receivers in the room. And we got a pretty good group. And I think all those guys had a pretty good week.
So the interesting thing there is that I got to give credit to Guy Haberman and John Middlecoff because they were doing a little breaking down of film and as it looked in training camp and as some of the film that we got from the Greenbrier. So in wide receiver drills, in all drills, you are with your position group. And then beyond being with your position group, you're usually lining up on the depth chart. So, you know, if we're running wind sprints with corners, your two starting corners will be in pole position together, followed by the depth chart. Early on in 49ers training camp, it was Debo Ayuk leading drills, going off cone drills at the very same time. This weekend in the Greenbrier, it was Debo and not Brandon Ayuk. It was Debo and Sherfield. It was Sanu, and I don't know who it was, but all by himself was Brandon Ayuk going off last. I don't know if that means anything. I don't know if that means nothing at all, but it's pretty rudimentary that you are not only with your group, but you're with the depth chart that you occupy in your group when you're going through practice drills. And it looked like Brandon Ayuk was the last man going. So I hope that's just absolutely nothing to see here. And the very first pass of the afternoon goes to him and we're done with this.
The game is going to tell us. I mean, how he's in practice groups and stuff like that, I think we can make ourselves nuts with that. But it is interesting that every time the question comes up, and to whoever it is aimed, the discussion is about the way you run your routes and the way you're practicing. And they get to answer questions asked of them any way they want. And the fact that they keep bringing that up suggests to me that they're unhappy with his detail work. And I haven't heard anything about, you know, anything beyond that. But it does sound like when you add up the fact that he didn't play at all in the first quarter and the way they've been answering questions ever since, that this is something that's they've sort of kept under wraps for a while, but they're unhappy with it. And they want to see if he's going to, you know, get better at that, at the stuff that you don't see.
Well, I guess if that is the case, then I would suggest that they've done this entirely wrong. And that if they've been unhappy with his detail work for a while, they should have made that point during his rookie year instead of putting him on the field to rack up stats and look like a starting wide receiver. Because right now, if you're trying to sell me that he just got passed by other guys, I'm not buying. Sorry. So now you're leaving me to imagine what thing you're not saying that might be the actual cause of what's going on. Because notion that, like, Sanu's been really good, so he just slipped behind him on that. Come on. That's ridiculous. Mohamed Sanu can't do what Brandon Ayuk did in front of my eyes all year last year. So what are we talking about? If you're upset about something specific he did, why not say it?
Because that's not what Kyle Shanahan does. I mean, look how long it took for him to finally talk frankly about Dante Pettis. And that was for a hell of a long time longer than whatever the Ayuk thing is. And I think the Ayuk thing is a more recent phenomenon. I don't think they were unhappy with him last year when they were playing him all the time.
So you think he just showed up unprofessional in year two?
It's the only thing that makes sense to me, because there was no indication that it was anything other than professional all of last year based on the way they used him.
Well, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
I don't believe that Sherfield is dramatically better. I don't believe that Sanu is dramatically better. So what's the issue? And the only issue that I can come up with is they're unhappy with practice habits, or they're unhappy with his meeting attention. I don't know. It's the only other thing I can imagine.
You know, I wonder if Kyle Shanahan, the general manager, and Kyle Shanahan, the coach, like if you could split them in half some way, would one walk up to the other right now to explain what is going on? Because if you're the GM, you're basically saying, hey, man, we traded up for this guy. He had a hell of a rookie year, all things considered, in the choppiest year of all time. So not only choppy because of the schedule and the pandemic, but because of the injuries and who was throwing him the ball and other targets not being out there to pull attention away from him. I mean, there was hardly any Kittle. There was a lot of reason to look at that rookie year and go, man, year two is going to be exciting. Could be very, very interesting. And that's kind of all the talk coming out of camp was. I mean, yes, Sherfield got buzz, but Ayuk looked good early. And, you know, we talked to Herm Edwards. He said the kid runs a great route. You know, that's kind of what he does. And it's the reason why Kyle went out and drafted him. I mean, here's the thing. If this guy isn't giving Kyle what he wants, the ability to draft players is something Kyle needs to come off of just a little bit. Look, the jury's still officially out on Kinlaw. Kinlaw looks good, but he also doesn't look like a clear world beater the minute, like, you know, DeForest Buckner hit the field and you were like, oh, okay. Trey Lance, let's be totally honest. We have no idea. We really hope it works. We'd like to see it work. Everyone's rooting for him, but we just don't know yet. If he ends up with, you know, the worst of the Mac Jones guys drafted behind him situation, that's going to be a tough position for Kyle to defend. Does he get credit for drafting Nick Bosa? The answer is no, not really. I think my mother would have drafted Nick Bosa. Mike McGlinchey has been good. He hasn't been bad. He hasn't been great. He's been good. And then there's Solomon Thomas and Reuben Foster. One can hardly play. The other's looking for a job. So this guy, Kyle the GM, has got all sorts of questions about his first round draft picks. And missing on a first round draft pick isn't, it's not a federal offense unless you do it over and over and over again. Because you know, anyone can appear great from around, and anyone can bust out from anywhere and around. We've seen it at every single draft position on the board. So there's nothing guaranteed. But in the position that Kyle essentially knows the best, as a player, as a coach, this, if Aiyuk isn't the perfect fit that he suggested he might be last year, there needs to be a reevaluation about the decisions being made and how Kyle's allowed to make them. And oh, by the way, welcome to your 3 o'clock hour.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.